Our guests today, the Handsome Family, are the husband and wife duo of Brett and Rennie Sparks. Rennie was originally a fiction writer before Brett convinced her to start writing lyrics for him. Their new album, Wilderness, is accompanied by a book of Rennie's essays and artwork that expands upon the many ideas on the album. All songs inspired by animals, but often not directly about them. And I ask her, what was her inspiration?
The funny thing is, it all came from our email newsletter. Because I, every once in a while, once a month or so, I send out something to our fans telling them what we're up to. And it's so boring just to send out tour dates and our new T-shirt design. So I started also sending little tidbits about the natural world that I'd found out that I thought people would be interested in. And so, yeah, each one of these songs actually started out as a newsletter and with lots of little bits that I found out. I mean, once I found out the octopus had three hearts, I had to tell people.
Indeed. I thought you were going to go with the legs because they appear to be rather mesmerizing in this.
They are. They actually do. There are people, our fishermen, who do see octopus, giant Pacific octopus in the water undulating their arms, and they will hypnotize schools of fish that just stop.
Wow.
Yeah. And then they eat the fish.
You've never been on the show before, so I'd love it if you maybe explain a little bit about how the creative process works with the two of you. Brett writes the music, and Rennie, I'm not trying to give it away.
That's pretty much it.
The words come from you, but at what point, Brett, do you get involved?
Well, Rennie writes lyrics invariably come first, so then she gives me sheafs of paper and, folders or one at a time, and I'll just read stuff over and over again until something kind of, rears its head, or you get a little germ or something, and then you kind of just start fleshing stuff out. Could take months, could take 5 minutes. Just depends on the song or the frame of mind.
Well, let's hear that one about the octopus.
Okay.
The octopus has three hearts. It lives in caves below the sea, or in a beer can, or a bathtub, or in a puddle on the street. Any fisherman can tell you when an octopus waves its arms, it hypnotizes schools of fish. All movement stops for miles. Even the waves stand still. All the witnesses have sworn it's impossible to resist the urge to jump overboard. That's why I know that no one has to know if I take an evening stroll down to the end of the wooden pier where the water's deep and cold. If I take an evening stroll down to the end of the wooden pier, where the water's deep and cold. That's why I can't stay away from seashore holidays. But I know that no one has to know if I take an evening stroll down to the end of the wooden pier, where the water's deep and cold.
Handsome Family alive in the World Cafe today, and that is Octopus from Wilderness, the new album. Brett Sparks, Rennie Sparks, and Jason Toth is here playing the drum kit as well. Where the water's deep and cold. You know, if I were to sum up the Handsome Family's, there's a lot of deep and cold water in a lot of your songs. And death in the form of murder or some other often comes up in the lyrics. Explain, Rennie.
Well, I think any song that doesn't acknowledge the fact that we're all going to die is kind of a song that tells a lie. I feel like the only way to really be happy and to write something beautiful is to first admit we're all mortal and then try to find beauty within that mysterious truth.
But I should add that I never feel that anything's particularly morbid. I mean,
no, I don't think it's morbid to think about death. I think that's the way to really truly live your life beautifully and fully, is to understand that every second that passes
the first
will not
noble
come
truth.
Again.
Explain the Chicago-Albuquerque connection. I know Jason's from Chicago, and actually, if you look at this record, the drum parts, you guys didn't record in your studio. He recorded them elsewhere, right? Yeah. Are you originally from Chicago and moved to Albuquerque?
We lived in Chicago for 12 years, so that counts for something. But,
I was born and raised in Texas and New Mexico, and I went to college in New Mexico, so I'm New Mexican. Uh-huh. And we moved back for various reasons. But, yeah, I always wanted to get the heck out of the Southwest growing up there. You know, there wasn't a heck of a lot going on, you know. And it's like, I want to go to New York City, you know. And so I
went That's where
New
he
York,
went and met me.
Met Rennie. And
I'm from New York.
And we ended up moving to Chicago, or just visiting Chicago, kind of happenstance. And it had this real kind of gothic, Rust Belt, you know, Batman movie kind of sensibility. It was just this wonderful place with all these old man bars and, you know, just a really cool place to hang out and a great music scene. There was Lounge X was there, and there was like so many bands playing. It was impossible to keep up with the amount of creativity that was going on there during the 90s. So it was really alluring. And we stayed there for a long time, and the bubble kind of started having an adverse effect on things by 2000, and we kind of just decided we needed to get out and go someplace. We'll go back home, you know, where my family's from.
Rennie, was it hard to convince you to leave the cities? I mean,
no.
She did most of the convincing to go to this. She was obsessed with the Southwest.
The very first day I got to New Mexico, I wanted to stay forever. The sky there is just revelatory, and it still continues to amaze me every day when I see the sunrise and the sunset. It's just, I'm breathless. Very happy to live there. But one of the wonderful things that came out of us living in Chicago was that Jeff Tweedy, who has befriended so many bands and is such a generous man with his time and with his I don't know what the word for it is, but he helps a lot of people, and he's helped us quite a bit over the years, loaned us so much equipment and given us great shows, but he also gave us access to the Wilco Loft to record Jason's drum parts, and that was a wonderful thing.
When he hears something he likes, he supports it.
We're delving into the wilderness with the Handsome Family, our guests today on the cafe, making their long-delayed debut on the show. I'm really happy to have you all here.
Thank you.
Where to next?
All right. Well, we were thinking Owls.
Owls, and thinking about George Jones,
and Phil Spector, I think a little bit, because
Phil Spector.
In my mind, this is the house that
George
Phil Spector,
and Phil.
This is where Phil Spector lives.
They never
worked
together, did they?
No,
I don't think
it would have been a shootout.
Yeah.
The blue house at the corner of Twilight and State. Four stories, soaring turrets, and floors of wood parquet. And owls, so many owls, snowy, horned, and screech. Thousands of owls all flapping their wings. How I love the marble staircase, the claw-footed tubs, rooms of rare orchids, the glass hall for my guns, statues of pharaohs 20 feet tall, and crystal chandeliers, rare paintings of clowns. But the owls and the owls, they're never alone. The owls make this blue house a home. As I sit by the fire and slip off my boots, they perch on harpoons and the stuffed heads of moose. The apothecary closet is lined with shells. As the ceiling grows upward and the walls start to swell, the owls with their feathers of silk, the owls, they mock me and have stolen my pills.
Some family doing the owls, and for those who don't like to read the liner notes before they hear a song, I didn't ask you the connections on that before you did it, but explain how that turned into this song, how the owls.
That song was really inspired by Sky Mall. I was on a plane reading Sky Mall, the magazine that sells products on the planes, and there was they were selling these two statues of pharaohs that looked 10 to 15 feet tall. And I thought, wow, great. I want those, but could I fit them in my house? And then suddenly I realized, well, what kind of house would they fit into? And it came to me then suddenly, a house full of owls.
Wow. Great song. Brandy, I was going to hand you over your book because the cover art is this ant circle, and you have a piece called The Ant. I was wondering if you could read the beginning of it, and then we can maybe maybe talk about circles.
Down in the tiny world of ants, a terrible spiral is sometimes seen, the ant death mill. Ants lead each other to food by laying down a trail of chemicals, but if the trail accidentally doubles back on itself, the ants will sometimes circle around instead of moving forward. They circle around and around, and they literally cannot stop. They may circle for hours or for days. They will circle until some begin to collapse from exhaustion, and still the others continue on, one behind the next, eagerly marching round and round, blind to their sisters' bodies, slowly piling up at the side of the trail. Worker ants are, incidentally, all female. These ants are all doomed, unless by chance one stumbles from the path and leads them to freedom. Of course, given that ants have six legs, I don't imagine that they stumble very often.
And that is just the beginning of this story, which got you thinking about loops and circles.
Yes.
And did you go from there and do a lot of other research?
Well, I think living out in New Mexico, you think about magic circles a lot. The Navajo make sand paintings that have a lot of magic circles in them, but also have holes in the magic circles to let the bad energy out. And also because they believe that once the artist finishes their piece of art, there should be a hole that they can escape from so that you can look at a beautiful piece of art, but there should be a mistake so that you don't get trapped staring for too long.
Leave some holes.
I think that's a very compassionate way to make art. Should bring you in, but also release you.
That's just one of the stories that does not have a congruent song, but it's in the wilderness as well. You have a song here that is called Woodpecker, and the origin of this was not the animal, though, right?
Well, it wasn't. And my brain doesn't always work in a linear direction. I think a lot of times I'm thinking about five different things at once, and then suddenly a magic circle forms out of the different thoughts. So I think it was not an A to B situation, but an A to an A to an A to an A that suddenly all went to B together. So I was thinking about Mary Sweeney, this woman who in the 1890s, this is a real woman, she was arrested hundreds of times for attempting to smash windows in little towns all over Wisconsin. And even though, you know, it's kind of a horrible story, this woman who was crazy and couldn't stop smashing windows, there's something about her that was really compelling to me. I wanted to know why she wanted to smash windows. And the obvious answer would be she didn't like her reflection or she's just a vandal. But I think for some reason I just had this sense that there was something more to it. I want to believe there's something more to it. And regardless of her reasoning for wanting to smash the windows, she also left this indelible mark on these little towns. They never forgot her. You know, 100 years later, they're still talking about Mary Sweeney, the Wisconsin window smasher. And I was thinking about her. How do I write about her? What does it mean? And then I woke up one morning and I heard a woodpecker out in our yard. And that feeling of going to bed in a little room and waking up and hearing the woodpecker at the edge of the yard, that feeling of waking up in a bigger room that I went to sleep in, suddenly made me realize, yes, Mary Sweeney is a woodpecker.
She heard something and went after it.
Yeah. Regardless of, I can't always, I mean, just like you can't really know what a woodpecker is about. I don't know what Mary Sweeney was about, but I know that she made the available reality to the people around her bigger. She made them consider something that they hadn't before, for good or for bad. She made the world a little bit larger and stranger.
Did I read that her story was in the Wisconsin Death
Yes.
Trip?
Yeah, which is a fascinating book about just those sorts of things where little towns in Wisconsin were suddenly finding their world much bigger than they had known it before.
I read one piece that put your world and the world of the Wisconsin Death Trip together. They thought that you had something in common.
Yeah, I think so. And I think I'm interested in how rural America meets industrial America. I mean, we have kind of two Americas still, where we have our old ways and our new ways. And in those little towns in Wisconsin in late 1890s, when the railroad came through and also some diphtheria came through, lots of things changed very quickly for them. And they were not ready for it mentally or physically. And these towns really went crazy.
Lovely Mary Sweeney, smasher was just a quiet school mom old lady from La Crosse, Wisconsin. She took a pinch of cocaine, but only for her nerves. Laudanum for trembling hands, a little bottle in her purse. She was a woodpecker.
She couldn't help but see
all the things that hide inside all the pretty trees. At dusk she took a tram, just a hammer in her back. She went from town to town, old lady, smashing every pane of glass. Storm that hide inside all them pretty trees. In the state asylum, the windows caged in bars, they soaked her in an ice cold bath till she was seen. She flew off into the trees. She was a woodpecker. She couldn't help but see all the things that hide inside all the pretty trees.
The story of Mary Sweeney turned into a song called Woodpecker, which is on Wilderness, the new album. Brett Sparks on Telecaster and music. Rennie Sparks on tiny bass and big banjo and words. And Jason Toth on the drum kit. Thank you, the Handsome Family. Thank you all so much for being here.
Our pleasure.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Be back in a moment here on the World Cafe.
Thanks to Brett and Rennie Sparks, the Handsome Family, I asked Rennie to stick around and play some of her other favorite songs by other people featuring animals.
Here's a truly frightening song that takes place in a world where fish may catch humans upon their hooks and spirit them away. This is the dark magic that can occur only at the river's edge. In this song, the story is of a murder, a drowning, maybe a suicide. Or perhaps it is the story of a terrible sacrifice made to an insatiable river god. It's Down by the Water by P.J. Harvey from 1995's To Bring You My Love.
I lost my heart under the bridge to that little girl. So much to me. Now I holler
how strange can people call little red roses on a plow? If you see my little red rooster, please drive him home. If you see my little red rooster, please drive him home. There's been no peace in the barnyard since the little red rooster been gone.
That was The Red Rooster by Howlin' Wolf, released in 1961. Howlin' Wolf's voice is like the wind blowing through the cold, cold pines, and it makes me wonder what kind of powerful mojo was stolen away in the body of that red rooster. The barnyard is in confusion, the dogs are howling like wolves, but I suspect that should the rooster ever be returned, Howlin' Wolf would be forced to retreat under the pines in silence. Vic Chestnut was confined to a wheelchair most of his adult life after a drunk driving accident. He died of an overdose of muscle relaxants in 2009. Other people write about bling and booty, Vic said. I write about pus and gnats. To me, that's what's beautiful. This song, specifically, was the song that inspired me to become a songwriter. Here is Rabbit Box by Vic Chestnut from his first record, Little, released in 1990.
While I was still in elementary school, I discovered daddy's tools. And I amassed a small pile of scrap lumber. And I built a rabbit box. And I set it facing north. But I called a possum and a kitten, both of which were a bitch to set free. 'Cause I thought they was gonna bite me, but we all three escaped safely. Well, once I took my single shotgun and put on my camouflage and hid in the neighbor's pasture by the little cow pond. And finally, after a long time, a bunch of doves flew by and landed in a huddle on the power line. And so I aimed with an eagle's eye and fired, but it was two pigeons that fell like beanbags into the weeds. Well, they sure looked like doves to me.
Another one of Rennie Sparks' picks, Rabbit Box by Vic Chestnut. Rennie Sparks from the Handsome Family. Their new album has songs inspired by animals, and Rennie has more animal songs when we get back here to the World Cafe.
The ability to imagine heaven is, I think, one of humanity's greatest gifts. How lovely to hear a song that imagines a heaven for good doggies, too. Elvis released this song as a single as a grown-up, but he also sang this song in his very first public appearance when he was age 10 during a singing competition at the Mississippi-Alabama State Fair. He came in fifth. Here's Elvis Presley singing Old Shep.
When I was a lad, an old ship was a pub over hills. Just a boy and his dog. We were both full of fun. We grew up together that way. I remember the time at the jumped in and helped pull me out. As the years fasted roll, old Chevy grew, his eyes were fast growing dim. And one day the doctor looked at me and said, I can do no more for him, Jim. With hands that were trembling, I picked up my gun and aimed it at Shep's faithful head. I just couldn't do it. I wanted to run. I wish they would shoot me instead. He came to my side and he looked up at me and laid his old head on my knee. I had struck the best friend that a man ever had. I cried so I scarcely could see. Old Shelby has gone where the good dog is gone, and no more with old Shelby will I roam. But if dogs have a heaven, there's one thing I know. Old Shep has a wonderful home.
Ooh. Oh, the snakes crawl at night. That's what they say. When the sun goes down, then the snakes will that car pull right up into my driveway. Saw a shadow slip away from my house, so I hurried straight and looked in her room, and I found out that it was my loving spouse. I did not plan to give them any warning.
for the devil on my shoulder had command. Oh, the snakes crawl at night, that's what they say. When the sun goes down, then the snakes will play.
That was the great African-American country singer Charlie Pride with his 1966 single, The Snakes Crawl at Night. It's a murderous story in which you gradually have to wonder, who is the snake, the creatures crawling out in the yard at night, the cheating wife who snuck out the bedroom window, or the monster waiting in the shadows with a gun in his hand? The Cuckoo is one of the oldest medieval songs and was meant to be sung in the deep darkness of winter. This song is an incantation, a prayer, an attempt to force the summer sun's return. It makes you wonder, were all songs originally magic spells? Here's the Cuckoo, sung by the countertenor Alfred Deller from The Three Ravens, released in 1993.
The cuckoo is a pretty bird. She singeth as she flies. She bringeth us good tidings. She telleth us no lies. She sucks those sweet flowers to keep her throttle clear, and every time she singeth, cuckoo, 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 the summer draweth near. The cuckoo is a giddy bird, no other is as she, that flits across the window, that sings in every tree. A nest she never buildeth, a vagrant she doth roam. Her music is but tearful. Cuckoo, 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 I nowhere have a home. The cuckoo is a witty bird, arriving with the spring. When summer suns are waning, she spreadeth wide her wing. She flies the approaching winter. She hates the rain and snow. Like her I would be singing. Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. And off with her I'd go.
Come all you young fowlers that handle a gun, beware of night rambling by the setting of the sun, and beware of an accident that happened of late to young Molly Bonne, and sad was her fate. She was going to her uncle's when a shower came on. She went under a green bush, the shower to shun. With her white apron round her, he took her for a swan. an t-shirt and kilter by the setting of the sun. He ran home to his father with his gun in his hand, crying, "Father, dear father, I have shot Molly Bone. I have shot that fair damsel. I have taken the life of the one I intended to take as my wife. She was going to her uncle's when a shower came on. She went under a green bush, the shower to shun, with her white apron around her. I took her for a swan, and I shot her and killed her by the setting of the sun. Shine forth like a mountain of snow.
That was Molly Bawn by Alistair Roberts from 2005's No Earthly Man. Alistair Roberts is one of our favorite singers of the old, old songs. He once failed to get a show in our hometown of Albuquerque, so we cleared out the furniture and had him play in our living room. I have no regrets about dragging the TV out onto the porch. One thing to consider about that last song is that while in many old fairy tales a woman turns into a swan, or a swan turns into a woman, when you think about the fact that swan meat is said to be very, very unpleasant to taste, there really is no reason for anyone to kill a swan except for the terrible joy of killing something beautiful.
Wow. Big thanks to Rennie Sparks for picking the music today and telling us all about it as well. Once again, the new album from the Handsome Family is called Wilderness, all songs inspired by the animal kingdom. Here on the World Cafe, where support is provided by the members of our World Cafe affiliates nationwide, including WNYE in New York and WXPR in Rhinelander, Wisconsin. Shows produced at WXPN from the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. I'm David Dye, and this is the World Cafe.